This is But You're Wrong. I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bordello.
How do you like my voice, Keith?
It's sultry.
I don't know about sultry. It's something.
It's doing something for me over here.
Oh, man. So what's going on, Keith?
Not a whole lot. I was just reading an article that I thought I would mention before we get to some other stuff. But apparently, in Nigeria, South Africa, and Egypt, which are Africa's three biggest economies, BlackBerries have outsold any other phone.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
They must be very cheap.
They're like $200.
Well, you think the BlackBerries that they're getting over there?
Retailing, in the article it says, retailing at between $200 and $2,000 in a country where most live on less than $2 a day, the cost alone made it a status symbol, she added. People come in to buy one just to show they've been promoted.
Why would they want? I mean,
you mean why would they want such a shitty phone?
Well, it's not that. Like, I understand why they would. Because they don't. I mean, I'm not just being a jerk, but I mean, people in countries like that probably don't necessarily know any better, as far as like, oh, BlackBerries are, you know, old and passe. But if that's how much a fucking BlackBerry costs, how much would an iPhone cost?
I don't know, but I'm reading more of this article, and it says the Nollywood film industry, which I'm guessing is like the Nigerian film industry.
Oh, I'm sure it's booming.
Whose clunkily named movie titles are a good cultural barometer and include delights such as Facebook Babes, F-A-Z-E Book Babes, has recently spawned the hit multi-sequel BlackBerry Babes. The comedy follows a group of scantily clad university girls obsessed with getting the latest phones. I want to find this movie so bad. All of a sudden. It sounds terrible.
That sounds bad.
Although I imagine they wouldn't be speaking English, so I would have no idea what's going on. But
I bet it would still be entertaining.
It probably would. I want to see Facebook Babes.
Facebook? I mean, obviously babes. They couldn't get the rights to use the name Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they got the. Well, no, I guess they wouldn't have to say BlackBerry because BlackBerry's a fruit.
A thing, yeah.
Yeah. It says Nokia's low-cost phones remain the top overall sellers across Africa, though affordable mid-range mobiles could also erode RIM's top-end dominance.
I mean, it seems crazy to me. Although, you know, just a couple of years ago, people loved their fucking BlackBerries. I mean,
yeah. Really, since the iPhone, I would say the iPhone 4 really knocked out in America a lot of BlackBerry users.
Yeah. You know what I always found the most strange about the BlackBerries was that I understood, like, people used them for business. I understood, like, you know, oh, that was the work phone and all that shit. But what I never understood was the vast amount of teenage girls that loved the BlackBerries. And, like, that was their thing.
Well, you know what it is because I actually have some experience in this, in the area of cell phones, because I used to sell them. And I'm not stating my credentials for you because I know you know this, but for anybody out there who's like, oh, that guy's just talking out of his ass. No, actually, I've seen it. A lot of the, like, because they started doing slide phones and the flip phones that had the keyboards on them.
Right.
And then girls wanted the keyboards, or a lot of people still wanted the keyboards, but especially teenage girls that love to text started going to the BlackBerry to get the keyboard because it was the only it's really the only smartphone that had other options that also had a keyboard for a while. And they had, like, a good keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I can see that.
I mean, really, for a while, the only smartphone out there was the BlackBerry.
No, that's true. Yeah, before Droid got big and everything.
But for the most part, like people that want a keyboard on their phone but don't want something huge, because the Droid still makes, at least last time I looked, they still make a slider phone that has a keyboard on it, but it's really big. If you want like a decent, like a moderate sized phone that's not too big, that has a keyboard on it, you gotta go with the BlackBerry. And BlackBerry's not bad. It just doesn't have the apps that Android or Apple does, and it doesn't have this easy to use operating system. Like, it's just very clunky, and they constantly change it. Like when I started working selling cell phones a couple years ago, they were, I think, on like BlackBerry 4, and they were just coming out with like BlackBerry 5. I saw an article the other day, I think, that said something about like BlackBerry 10 coming out next year. So within just a couple years, they jumped like operating systems way further than they had before, because they're constantly reinventing, trying to make things easier to use, but they're not doing a good job.
Right, right.
But I guess BlackBerries are really expensive over there, so it's just kind of a status symbol because of the cost. They're just like, well, it's really expensive, so I might as well just buy it.
It's weird. It seems so weird to me. I pretty much moved over to the iPhone primarily because I got sick of buttons. I was like the opposite of those people that wanted the keyboard. I was just done with having buttons on my phone because I just had too many experiences where the buttons would stop working. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm getting a phone with no buttons. And so I moved over to the iPhone.
Now, you just got the iPhone 5, right?
Yep.
How do you like it so far?
I like it.
Is it too tall?
What'd you say?
Is it too tall for you?
No, it is not too tall. Okay. I think it's perfect. It's it feels like a remote control, like for a TV almost. It's very light. I'd say it's almost half as light as my iPhone 4. And it's just the shape of it, how it's taller but not wider. It just feels like a TV remote. But it I think it's fine. And it's very fast. I mean, realistically, it's not that different from the last one. But
did you have the 4 or the 4S?
I had the 4.
Okay. It's not even that different from the 4.
I don't even think it's that different from the 4. So I'm sure other than the size of it, it's basically no different than the 4S. But see, I didn't have Siri before, so I enjoy that.
So that I get nice, to,
yeah. So I get to ask Siri all sorts of wild questions, and you can be sure I have.
I wouldn't. have you asked that Siri call you something else?
Yes.
Is Siri now calling you Mr. Big Dick?
No, but it is Mr. Something.
Okay. Is it Mr. Fantastic?
It is.
Okay.
When I ask Siri what my name is, she says, "Your name's Greg, but since we're friends, I call you Mr. Fantastic." Which I like.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I see, because I'm right now I'm rocking the Droid, one of the Droids. And I want to go back to the iPhone just because it's so much easier to sync things up and like pictures and put music on and all this other shit. And I'm just like, well, I'm also just, I like the iPhone. I think I want to go back to the iPhone. But do I get the 4S because it's cheaper? Or do I save up for the 5? But now I'm thinking I might just save up for the 5 and see how long I can last with my phone right now.
Right.
Because I saw an article that they're already coming, they're already prepping plans for the iPhone 5S. I wouldn't put past them, because I imagine in probably March we'll find out about the iPhone 5S.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll just wait then.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I did. Like, I probably could have grabbed – actually, no, I definitely could have grabbed a 4S, because my contract was up a little while ago, but I waited because I was like, I'll get the 5. It's not a big deal. And I'm glad I waited. You know, it's good. I'm typically not even a huge Apple guy, but I just like the phone. I'm used to it now. And I got all my apps and all my music and all that shit. So going back would just be a disaster. And besides, they're good phones. And, there's no point in changing at this point. Mm-hmm. And it works. You know, I sync it up with my PC and works fine. There's no issue. So whatever.
Stay with what works.
It's working. If it ain't broke, I'm not fixing it. If it don't get hard, don't suck it. It's words to live by.
All right.
Can you see why Siri calls me Mr. Fantastic?
No, I really can't. But we'll just go with it. So there, before we, because there's something that we specifically both watched to before recording to talk about, because we had heard about it before, we were excited about it, we watched it, and we're going to talk about. But before we do that, there was a couple, I guess, housekeeping items I wanted to take care of, some updates.
Yeah.
So you and our buddy Andrew were recently in Pittsburgh, and a couple episodes of stuff that we recorded while you guys were here have already gone up, 42 yep. and 43. And on 42, we talked about Jeff Boss.
Yes.
Now, did you see that he sent us an email?
No, I didn't.
So he sent us an email, and I got so excited that he sent us an email. I was super pumped. I saw it, and the name is Jeff Boss, candidate for governor. Jeff Boss won at AOL.com, which is the email that he puts on his website. And I said, oh, my God, like we got a response from him. Let's see what he says. And it's just the same shit that we talked about already that's on his website. So I guess it's just like a form. Unfortunately, he didn't actually send us any video.
So we didn't like personalize the email at all?
No, he wasn't like, hey guys, thanks for your voicemail. I really appreciated you guys calling. This is the information that I have. Or he didn't even say like, it literally starts off, Jeff Boss is a candidate for president 2012, candidate for governor of New Jersey 2013.
Oh, come on, Jeff Boss. How busy could you be? You got I saw your vote total. It was like 850 something votes. You're not that busy. You could have sent a personal email.
Well, he gives his phone number again and he says, controlled by the NSA. People are saying they spoke to me who I never spoke to. I think maybe he's just answering the phone drunk and not remembering it, but whatever. he also gives his email address again and says email is also controlled and sometimes blocked. So I might try to see if we can draft a response for him and say, your videos, because it says check out my website at this, and then it says click on videos. But I had tried that before, and the videos have been removed by the user.
Oh, you mean NSA?
The user.
Oh, okay.
The user. So I might try contacting him back and being like, look, dude, just, you know, send us something. Send us a little MPEG.
I want to hear from him.
Just send us an MPEG.
What would be great is if he would come on the show.
He won't do that. There's no way he'll do that.
No, I know. There would be no way.
I mean, still. He might. He might if he doesn't listen to any other mentions of him.
That's true. If he has no idea what we talk about and what we've said about him, you know, you never know. He sounds like he's a busy man, so maybe he
hasn't. He's busy hanging out on the New York subway line, handing out pamphlets and shit.
What a maniac.
But yeah, he sent us an email back. So at least we know that he listened to the voicemail.
Yeah, that's good. Jeff Boss has heard my voice.
He has heard your sultry voice.
Ugh, and I feel important now.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. 'Cause
that guy may be the future mayor of Gutenberg, New Jersey.
Gutenberg. You know what? I would like to meet him someday so that I can say, of all the famous people I met, I can put him on the list of famous politicians that I've met.
What's that list now?
List is pretty good.
I know you met Scott Brown.
I met Scott Brown. Met him a few times. Once in a men's room. Not like that. I've met George W. Bush.
When did you meet George W. Bush?
I met him a while ago when he was first running for president.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have words with him, or was it just like...
I shook his hand. I said, hey, how's it going? Thank you for inviting me. He said, oh, thank you for coming along, blah, blah, blah.
And then he was and then he just went to the next person?
Yeah. But I consider that meeting. I met him.
How did you get invited to this? To this shindig that he was throwing?
During the 2000 election, I think it was the first debate. It was in Boston, and there was he had a rally afterwards, and someone I knew had like a ticket to get in, so I went, and we were hanging out, and the Secret Service was coming around and talking to us. We were kind of hanging in the back over near where they were stationed. And this was before. This is like during the debate. And they were like, hey, you guys want to meet Bush? We're like, yeah, sure. Why not? So they brought us back where they were hanging out. And we had like pizza and stuff. We were hanging out with the Secret Service guys. And then when Bush came, he was going up on stage. And so they had us go up and on stage and meet him and all that stuff. And we're on TV.
Really?
Yeah. There's video of it. So my parents still have video of it. But so yeah, I met him. I met Laura. And then I met Mitt Romney, Scott Brown, of course. I met Paul Cellucci, who was a governor of Massachusetts, not as famous as the other people, but yeah, some few fairly decent people. Obviously George W. Bush being the most famous, but you know.
That's pretty cool. The fact that you met George Bush is kind of awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He was very nice. I mean, I'd expect him to be nice, you know. He's not like pompous, but
we should see if we can get that that video from your parents and put it up on like our YouTube channel that we don't have anything on at all, but
we need to convert it because it's definitely on like VHS.
I think my parents have a VHS converter.
Nice. Well, you know what? Next time I'm over there, I'm going to see if they still have it. I don't see any reason why they would have gotten rid of it.
There's got to be a way to do it, but I think they have a VHS converter or something like that, because my dad had an old camcorder that was the old, you know, little cassette tapes. It wasn't like the full VHS tapes, but I think the it would still be able to convert it.
Right.
Because I think it took the input from the video. It just took the input from the video camera and converted it in the box to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That probably would work.
Because he had video of us at the zoo and Disney World and I think a couple other things that he did. Oh, you know what? I'm going home for Thanksgiving. I'll see if we can track that down.
Nice. Yeah, it would be... Because
I would love to see that video. I think that's... I mean, while I may not have agreed with everything that George W. Bush did...
Well, yeah, no, me neither.
And I didn't think he was the most well-spoken president.
Oh, he definitely wasn't well-spoken. There's no argument there.
No, but I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, he's a respectable man. The fact that you met him and he was pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I haven't met, I'm trying to think. I don't think I ever met anybody really, really that famous.
I mean, yeah, like that's, I don't think I'll ever meet someone that famous again.
I mean, I'm trying to think of famous people that I've even met. I don't think I can't think of any really.
Other than politicians, I think the most famous people I met have all been like baseball players.
See, I don't even think I got a chance to meet like any baseball player, like any baseball players, but also, you know, athletes. I'm trying to think who like the most famous person I probably would have met is. I'm not sure I've really met any. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess most of the famous people I've met are pretty probably not noteworthy. Obviously, Bush kind of trumps them all, having been president of the United States. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say most of the other famous people I've met are probably Boston athletes. So I mean, famous around here, but not necessarily household names.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew met David Ortiz at the mall once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you remember the band Jet?
Yeah.
I hung out on their tour bus.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I had a drink with them, and then it started to get real creepy. And it was freshman year in college before they really kind of broke out. I think they broke out like 6 months later.
Yeah.
But they were doing a tour and they were there, and it was one of the first days that we were there. It was like within the first week. And so the people that were with me, I don't even talk to anymore. And like one of them I stopped talking to like a month later just because we just never hung out. But two of the – where I was with two girls and a bunch of other guys, and there were a couple other girls there, but two of the girls really want to meet the band after. And they were like, oh, we're going to go –
You know what
that means. Well, yeah. We're going to go hang out at the tour bus. And I think I said to them, I was like, you know what that means, right? And they were like, yeah, we don't want to. We're just going to hang out with them. And I was like, all right, well, I'll go hang out. Too. And I think somebody else had the same reaction because they were like, you say you don't want to, but they're gonna assume that you want to. So, like, we'll just go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if they were like, yeah, we want to go have sex with them, see you later, I would have been like, all right, see ya. I don't know you that well. But I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know who this band is that's randomly touring to colleges. You know, like at that time, it was just some random band touring with colleges. So I was like, well, we'll just, you know, why not? We'll go see if we can meet them. And then they were like, oh, you want to go hang out? And they're from Australia. And I'm not going to bother trying to do an Australian accent.
Yeah, I've heard you do one before, and it sucks.
Yeah, yours sucks too, sir. So don't blame this all on me.
Sorry, I am.
But they're like, oh, you guys want to hang out? So we went on the bus, and they gave the guys beer, and then they poured, they made the girls Greyhounds, which I think is just grapefruit juice and vodka instead of orange juice. But like, they gave them like strong drinks, and then the drummer comes back and he pulls a girl back into like the back of the bus, which is like the, you know, the bedroom area.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out, we're talking for a while. And he's like, oh, how old are you guys? And we're like, oh, we're all 18. And he goes, oh, cool. And he goes, so you guys going out to the bars later? And one of the girls is like, oh, we can't. And he's like, why not? And they're like, because the drinking is 21. He goes, oh, that sucks. And then I don't know how we left. I think the girls just got a weird vibe, and they were like, okay, time to go. We'll see you later.
Or maybe after seeing the drummer drag a girl into the back.
Well, he didn't. Okay, he did drag a girl.
Oh, okay. So he just kind of.
It wasn't quite that bad. Like, she was totally like,
I want to get boned.
Yeah, it wasn't like she was like strung out and she was like, oh my God. Because they performed at a concert hall in the student union. So it wasn't like some downtown concert or anything like that. Like,
so they couldn't get that nuts.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But like the one guy, the main guy, and I think it was the bassist that talked to us for a little bit too. They were all pretty cool. But that was about it. But I think that's my biggest run-in with Fame at this moment that I can think of, at least.
I'm trying to think if I've met famous musicians. I don't think so. I'm trying to think. Actors. I don't know if I met too many actors either. I met, what's this?
Robert Urich?
What?
Robert Urich?
No, didn't meet Robert Urich. My mom did, though.
No.
I met Rocco from, Rocco from, what's that fucking movie? Boondock Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's not a movie star, though.
That's kind of cool, but...
Yeah, I made him drop his glasses. It was kind of funny, and he's like, I dropped my fucking glasses! I was like, sorry, Rocco. That was it. That was our exchange. I knocked them out of his hand.
I think that's my biggest run-in. Besides being, like, 6 inches away from, LeBron James at a Lakers game, because I got the company seats.
Lakers game?
Celtics game. Why did I say Lakers? I don't know.
That's like,
oh, because I got
polar opposite there, sir.
Yeah, I know. Because I have Googled news in front of me, and for some reason there's a story about
Lakers.
Yeah, Phil Jackson and the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, the whole Lakers thing, firing their coach, and, yeah. I hate the Lakers. Obviously, I'm a kid born in Boston, so I despise the Lakers. I do like that the owner of the Lakers is a chemist.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dr. Buss. That's the only thing I like about them. Other than that, I hope they all die in a plane crash.
Well, I don't have quite the animosity for them. I do apologize to all Boston people for accidentally saying Lakers, but it was in front of me, and I said it. I can't take it back.
Well, that's all right. You.
I can edit it, but you know, I'm just going to be honest. I wasn't. I don't give that much of a shit about sports rivalries, because I'm not a big sports guy.
I know. But honestly, I don't even necessarily care that much about basketball. That's definitely my fourth sport, but I don't know. Grow up as a kid in the 80s in Boston, Lakers, just not a big fan.
It's understandable.
Definitely.
So I also wanted to let you know, sir, that you have become something of a legend in the area.
Oh, boy.
You and Andrew were here.
Yep.
And it was revealed that you guys had not had pierogies before.
Oh, yeah.
And that you tried pierogies. And this has become the stuff of legend around here, sir. You are like the vampire. People hear about you, and they believe in you. And they're a little scared of you. And they kind of don't believe that you exist, but they're like, well, maybe he does. But they've never seen one. So
they don't believe that, yeah, that someone could have never had pierogies before?
I don't think so. Word is just spread.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, I guess it's kind of crazy that I had never had pierogies before.
It's a little nuts. It's a little nuts, and word is being spread around the area.
We just don't have that many Polacks over here. I know one Polack, Vic. And he's the man, but he never cooks, so I never get to try Polish food.
Yeah. I don't think I had them until I went to Penn State. And since Penn State's right in the middle, I mean, you get kind of half and half, so I'm sure pierogi's kind of carried over from there. You're not as much of a legend as I say. Basically, it's just that was like the one thing that when people asked me about, I told them, and they were like, "Oh yeah, I already know that because I already heard it." So when I was talking to them, they were like, "Oh, I heard they never had pierogies before," and I was like, "Yeah, how?"
So that's just like the main thing that people are like, huh? That's what they took from our visit.
That was like that was the linchpin that they hung your trip on.
Well, yeah. I mean, I gotta say, the pierogies were one of the highlights of the trip for sure. Because especially those one at the Church Works. I mean, those were delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could eat those all the time.
Those especially were very delicious.
I don't know where I'd get them here, but I mean, I find them.
You can buy them.
Yeah.
You can buy the frozen ones, and the frozen ones aren't bad. You know,
cook them up yourself. That's like buying frozen meatballs, I'm sure.
You could try making them.
I could. I mean, I should be able to.
I think a man with your skills, you should be able to.
I claim myself to be a decent cook, so.
Yeah, try making some pierogies.
You know what? Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Try making some pierogies, and especially do it next time I'm up there, and then, you know, I can be another taster. Because I've had some pierogies in my day.
Yeah.
Apparently more than you.
Definitely more than me. Now, on your ranking of the pierogies, the ones at the Church Works, were they good?
They were delicious. They were They were up there with the best ones.
Okay, good. Because I, you know, obviously those were the first ones I ever had, so I wasn't sure if I was just being kind of a, you know, pierogi pussy or whatnot.
No, but they were very good. I think also the addition of the sour cream and the onions, the way the onions were done there was very good.
Good.
The caramelizing of those onions versus when we had them at Primanti Brothers and they were just kind of lightly sautéed onions.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh. But no, the Church Brew Works were very good.
It's good stuff.
But one other thing before we get to the main event, and you and everybody in Quincy should appreciate this.
Does it involve a kitchen?
No. Okay. You forgot your charger when you left.
Yes.
And I said I would mail it to you. And then you got the iPhone 5, but then you said you still needed it because you were going to give it to somebody else.
Exactly.
And I said, no problem, I'll mail it out to you. So I had a little padded envelope, and I wrapped some plastic bags around there, which you'll see whenever you get it. I take it over to the post office. I wait in line behind a old woman that I don't know what she does. Like, she talks to the guy for 2 seconds, then he takes the envelope from her, doesn't take any money or anything from her, just kind of adds it to a pile and goes, okay, have a good day. I have no idea. Like, I guess she couldn't slip it in the slot, but, you know, the outgoing mail slot. But whatever.
Oh, that slot.
She, yeah, I mean, maybe she was trying to slip in another slot, and that was the problem. So I go up, and I give it to him, and I say, I need to send it out first class. Because they always ask you, do you want a priority? Do you want to express? Do you want to do? I just, first class will do, because you'll get it in the same amount of time that you do priority. Us being so close.
Right.
So he goes, there's a lot of places I haven't been. He goes, I'll have to go to Quincy, Massachusetts. And in my head, I'm processing what to say as a response to this statement. Because at first I go, should I correct him and tell him it's actually Quincy?
Yeah, you pronounce it like a Z.
Or do I go, and this is the one that I went with, but the other option was to go, you don't want to go there.
No, you really don't need to, sir.
Yeah, I was like, you don't have to go there. You can skip it. Because I just imagine that this man is living in this area, probably hasn't left, or at least often left, this half of Pennsylvania. Because he makes the statement, oh, there's still a lot of places I have to go. And maybe he's getting close to retirement. And maybe he's starting to mentally make a list of places that sound interesting. And I was like, I don't want this guy to go to Quincy because of me. You know? And be like, eh, that sounds interesting. I haven't seen that place before. I'll have to check that out. And then he gets there and he goes, that son of a bitch.
It's like, you know, I gotta see London. I gotta see Rome. I gotta see Vegas. I gotta see Quincy, Massachusetts. No, sir.
Yeah, he goes to all these places, and I'm just like, I was like, it's not bad. It's nice because it's right outside of Boston. It's not a terrible place, but you know, there's other places you should go first.
He'd be like, sir, do you know what a liquor store looks like? And do you know what a dive bar looks like?
Yeah. Do you also know what a kitchen looks like?
And you know what a kitchen looks like and a bunch of middle class people who just don't really have much better to do? If you know what all that looks like, you know what Quincy's like.
I was, you don't have to go there. So we complete our transaction. And I go, you know, besides it being outside of Boston, like real close to Boston, so it's not hard to get into the city. Like it's no big whoop. I didn't say no big whoop. I forget what I said. I was like, it's nothing big. And he goes, well, yeah, maybe I'll have to plan a trip to Boston and maybe take a side trip to Quincy. And I go, and as I'm leaving, I'm like, you could do that, but you know, don't bother.
Like, you know what? Go to Boston. Just leave Quincy out.
just skip Quincy. Like, I used to live in Somerville, and if I was sending something to Somerville, and they were like, oh, Somerville, I should go to Somerville. No, don't fucking bother. Just go to Boston, enjoy yourself in Boston, then go to the next city on your list. Don't stop anywhere just around there. I mean, there's some nice places. There's some, like, good little, like, restaurants and bars and stuff spread throughout the area surrounding Boston. But you know what? Don't worry about trying to go to any of those places.
There's enough to do in the city that taking time out of your schedule to go visit Quincy is just, it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's just, there's nothing like where you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest place ever. I'm so glad.
Oh yeah.
You don't see
it's like a million Chinese restaurants.
You never see like the Travel Channel special where they're like, and when you go to Boston, make sure you go to Quincy, Massachusetts. Make sure you say it with a Z.
Hop on the red line
and stop it
down Quincy.
Yeah, stop at Barry's for breakfast, and then you can go to the Hancock Tavern for lunch. Finish off with dinner at Murphy's.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Murphy's doesn't exist anymore?
Well, it's they closed and they opened up as a new place. It's called The Assembly. It looks all trendy in there. I haven't been in. I'm going to try it soon, though.
When you say trendy, you mean like hipster?
Yeah.
Or like a higher level of people.
You know what? I'll say higher level of people than were typically found in Murphy's.
I'm a little upset by that.
Yeah, that's a little disturbing. I am too. And it's not because Murphy's was amazing. It's because Murphy's was good.
Yeah, Murphy's is just like a good bar, a good reliable bar. Plenty of seating too, for the most part.
Seating. It was convenient to get to. The food was good and the beer was reasonably priced. Was it anything amazing? No, but it was kind of what you want in a local establishment. But, yeah, Murphy's is no more.
Wow. That's upsetting.
Not happy.
Yeah. Either way, you don't hear people really rant about it that much on travel channels and stuff like that.
No,
you know,
no.
Take a jaunt down to Quincy. No, don't. You don't have to. But I was like, I really hope this male guy doesn't add it to like a little list that he's keeping. He's like, I'm 2 years from retirement. After I retire, I'm going to travel. I'm going to see the world. And I'm going to see Quincy, Massachusetts.
He's going to go to Quincy and end up getting like mugged or something.
Oh, man. Just don't bother.
No.
So the main event. We've talked about this man before.
What a man he is.
And he's from the video, he's becoming a whole lot of man. And I don't know why he buys the same t-shirts as Zach Bagans. Because he's already wearing the bigger leather jacket, but he needs to wear the bigger t-shirt underneath too. I was very excited to find out that his show is finally starting up again. And I told you about it, and I said, Gregory, you need to see Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura.
Is this the second or third season?
This is the third season.
I thought so.
I've seen bits and pieces of the other two. This one, though, this season looks to be the season to end all seasons. Because, I mean, I don't know if he's doing it again. I think he needs to continue because there is a lot that needs to be uncovered. And
he doesn't look healthy.
He's adding to the team, though. Did you notice that right up front? He adds to the team.
Oh,
first of all, he has a team.
Yeah, he has his son,
which I thought was kind of funny. And the son is also wearing like a leather jacket.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a...
And it's just a taller version of... If you look at him side by side, they do look like father and son.
The face is similar, but he's like a taller, thinner Jesse Ventura. And then the other guy...
Which, this I love. Go ahead and reveal it.
Is Oliver Stone's son.
Yes.
Which is just brilliant.
And he looks like Oliver Stone, too.
He does. I didn't know this at first. I'm looking at him. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And they're like, something Stone. I forget his first name. And I'm like, and I didn't, it didn't stick out right away. I wasn't like Oliver Stone, but it was like, this guy's somebody. And that's why I went online. And I was like, holy shit, Oliver Stone's son.
Well, they say it, too, in the show later on. He's like, I recently added to the team. I added Oliver Stone's son, which I forget what's his name?
Hold on. I got it.
I want to say it's like Jesse Stone or something like that, but I think I'm just making that up.
Yeah. You know what? I think it might start with a J. Oh, damn it. I just had it. Now I got to reload my page. Jesse is joined by two new investigators on the show. Jesse's son, Tyrell Ventura.
Oh, yeah, it's Tyrell.
And multi-award-winning film director Oliver Stone's son, Sean Stone.
Mm. Sean Stone. What I like is that Jesse's like – they bring him his new additions to the team. Bring him – this conspiracy, what they call the reptilian conspiracy, which is that reptiles, shape-shifting lizards, are taking over the planet and can take human form. Is that an accurate assessment of the theory? And
yeah, or that they've in the past mated with humans, so that typically they look like humans, but
and then their offspring are now like the ones in power.
Right, right. So they are our presidents, and they are the royal family of England, and all this.
Yeah, all like the European royal families and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I like how Jesse's like, something so ridiculous. I should have expected it from this ragtag team of newcomers that I brought in. Like, I'm just like, and they have this fake, like, behind the, like, back hallway...
Oh.
Argument about it, which reminded me of like a WWF like backstage this argument is happening. Like they're in the conference room where the rest of his team is. And then they just burst through him and he's like, "Listen, why did you bring that up in front of me?" Like,
yeah.
"I can't do that. That's ridiculous. I have a reputation." I think he actually says that, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He says that I have a reputation. I was like, "Yes, you do. As being a fucking nut. That's what your fucking reputation is, Jesse Ventura." And the back hallway thing. I mean, it pretty much resembled the hallway in T2 when the Terminator and the T-1000 first meet, and the T-1000 kills that Chinese guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the stereotypical, like, we're in a building. This is like the basement. This is, you know, the bowels of the building. It's just a generic white hallway with, like, black doors and then, like, some steam pipe running behind them.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I can't do this." And then my favorite line is he says something like, he goes, "Fine, we'll investigate it. I'm going to blow the lid off this thing. And I'm gonna show the two of you," or something like that.
No. "I'm going to blow the lid off this thing. And after I do, I'm going to blow the lid off you."
Does he say? Is that what he says?
That's what he says. Oh, it was so good. And it was – oh, and the way they convinced him to go about – checking into it was they were like, look at this Time magazine article with the top 10 most believed conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And it was number 10. It was like the reptilian conspiracy. And he was like, "All right, if Time magazine puts it as their number top 10, then I think it's worthy of looking into." So it's like, oh, come on. Bunch of idiots vote into Time magazine and all of a sudden you're gonna give this an entire episode.
Yeah. And then what I really liked about Sean Stone is that he's the bad boy of the team now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he, in every scene, even when they're indoors, he's wearing like a motorcycle jacket. Like a black leather motorcycle jacket.
Looks like a greaser from the 50s.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh my god, just, you're nuts. And he's like, "Well, I know people that believe in this thing. Like, I have connections." And I'm like, oh god, you have connections? And that's everybody that they talk to in this episode is a connection of Sean Stone.
Oh yeah, because he kind of like leads them to all these maniacs.
Yeah, First of all, Jesse Ventura meets a woman in a cave, and they even point it out. He even goes, "Yeah, I'm meeting her in a cave, so what?"
Yeah.
Just, like, can't you? And then he's like, "The sunglasses are a nice touch.
Yeah, yeah."
Could they be hiding reptilian eyes? And it's just like, it's... The best way I can describe this woman, though, is if you haven't seen it, if you've seen the pictures of Petraeus' wife in the news recently, it looks like her with dyed hair. Right? And sunglasses on. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like the same person.
What I said was that she probably likes to push the idea that there's reptile people in the world, because if there was, suddenly she's not as bad looking.
Yeah.
But nothing for me topped the woman who claimed, and I use the term woman very loosely, claimed to be part reptilian.
Yeah, she claimed. Hang on, let's back up a second.
Okay.
So part of the conspiracy is, and we touched on it before, is that the woman in the cave said it. And I want to know if she lives in the cave. Does she just spend all of her time hanging out in the cave?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's her job. Like, she gets up in the morning and goes to the cave.
Yeah.
Hangs out there.
She's like, "Well, I have to go to the cave. I gotta go." And she just hangs out there. And, like, people walk through it as kind of explorers, and they're like, "Oh, she just must be another tourist." No, she just thinks that her job is to protect this cave for some reason.
She's hanging out just babbling about some nonsense fucking reptiles.
And she's in a cave wearing sunglasses. I don't know who does that. She says that it goes back to ancient Sumeria.
Oh, right.
Which is even before, like, Egyptians, right? Sumeria was in the Fertile Crescent region, which they believe was the kind of springboard of all human life for the most part.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like, or even at least, like the earliest, at least like the Bible times and stuff.
Yeah, for at least that, like, Sumeria is where, like, humans and civilization really started.
Right.
As far as they can tell. Or at least ancient cultures, as far as we know. They have these statues of, I guess, alien, reptilian-looking people that they supposedly had sex with. And this goes all the way back to them. Now, I get a little confused at this because I think they talked about both in the show. At one point, the reptilians are from another dimension, and at one point, they are from another planet.
Yeah, it's but it's not what I'd call clear.
Yeah. They're from someplace else.
Yeah, not here.
And they come here, and they mate, and they make human-lizard hybrids that have the ability to shapeshift.
Right, which really just look like humans, but apparently...
Apparently they can shapeshift.
Yes.
So that, and then it from there, it goes through history and it continues. Now, I guess the reptiles don't necessarily continue. There's no reptile breeding with a human from that point on. It seemed like it was all hybrids breeding with hybrids.
I guess that's kind of what I took from it.
From that point on. But this went on from Sumeria, so that had to have been, what, 3,000 BC? 2,000 BC?
Yeah, before the Egyptians, I guess.
I want to say it was 3,000 BC. That's a time that sticks out in my head from high school or college class somewhere. So it continues all throughout, and that these people have now risen to power and are... controlling the world. Most of the people in, like, the G8 and the UN and all the world leaders are reptilians. Hybrids. And you can apparently supposedly see it in a video.
Oh, God.
Now, this guy admits that a lot, 98% of what is, or 99% of what is on YouTube is fake, but that one, there's this 1% that he can't explain.
Yeah, his official title is a video debunker.
Now, part of my problem
with this guy, Jose, I think it is.
Yeah, part of my problem with this guy, though, is that he says he points to a video of George W. Bush speaking. I think he was giving the State of the Union. And he licks his lips a bit.
Yeah.
And he says something about that and points out the tongue as, like, a reptilian trait. And I'm like, that's – a lot of people lick their lips when they're talking.
Yeah, especially if you're nervous.
Yeah, and, like, by that then I have to assume that you're saying that Michael Jordan was a lizard person too because he constantly stuck his tongue out.
That's true.
And I mean, that's something that he even admits. He's like, I shouldn't have done that because that was probably a dangerous idea. But if you look at pictures of him mid-frame dunking, he's got his tongue out.
Right.
So Michael Jordan might be a lizard person too, if we're going off of that as evidence. I might also be a lizard person because in telling that story, I licked my lips at least twice. So I'm just letting you know, Greg.
Oh, all right. I'm glad that we're 500 miles away from each other.
But yeah, so apparently it has continued, and they are building power. Now, describe the woman that they speak to.
So they go, and I don't know if they're at
like a Holiday Inn Express.
Okay,
good. Because yes. Afterwards they're talking, and it just looks like they're in a hotel hallway.
Yeah, okay. So they're in, like, a little conference room at, like, a Holiday Inn. And it's Ventura's son, Oliver Stone's son, this woman, and a medium or psychic. It's a psychic, right?
I don't know what the difference is, to be honest, but she's something like that, yeah.
So they're talking to the woman who starts describing how she is part reptilian, and that sometimes she describes how it'll come out in her, where like those people will see it in her eyes, or like really like randomly, like she'll kind of like lose control and it'll come out or something like that. And this, so she starts like talking about all these, she starts telling stories about how her partner, which I was very surprised to find out she was a lesbian. That's sarcasm. she said that her partner like looked over at her in the middle of the night or something, and she was like a big lizard. Like she like turned into a lizard or something.
Okay, yeah. Now this is where I start to call bullshit on the story. Because where I'm like, you are entirely making all this up. Because here's the thing. I feel like she could actually literally believe that she is part reptilian. She could 100% believe that. It doesn't make it true, but she could 100% believe that.
Right.
But now she's just making stuff up because she goes, well, my partner said that the reason she didn't run away screaming was because she saw my features in the reptile face, even though, you know, I had this, my eyes were, you know, vertical slits, and I had the other,
third eyelid.
Yeah, the third eyelid. Thank you. I kept wanting to say eyebrow for some reason.
That's a unibrow.
See, I was like, that's not right at all. But she's like, that's the only reason she didn't run away screaming. And I'm like, bullshit, okay? Bullshit. Because if I woke up one night and my fiance in her place was a giant lizard with a tail, I would freak the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
And she would do the same thing. I might have – if she then woke up and was like, no, it's me. It's me. And I stopped and I looked at her for a second. I might go, holy shit. I can see your features in there. But if I wake up and there's just this reptilian face with a tail, I'm just going to freak the fuck out and run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm running or I'm grabbing a gun.
No matter how both. Perfect, no matter how perfect your relationship is, no matter how long you guys have been together, you're going to freak out. Like, the way she told the story was, it was just like, there's a lizard. Oh, but I can see my partner's features in the lizard face, so I know it's her. It's okay.
Oh, that's like, fine. I'm going to go back to bed now.
Like, my parents have been together for 40-something years. My parents would freak out if all of a sudden, in place of the other person, there's a giant reptile, no matter how much it looked like the other person. You could literally take my dad's head and put it on a lizard body. My mom would freak out. Even though she was like, oh, well, it looks like your father, so it's okay.
Oh, that's fine. Well, I better get back to sleep because I got to get up for work in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I got to be up in 3 hours, so I might as well go back to sleep. No, there's no way that that's happening.
So.
Because my first thought is going to be that my fiance has been replaced by an alien, and that an alien reptile has eaten her or some shit like that. I'm not gonna be like, well, I can kind of see your features, so it's cool.
It's all right.
How convenient, though, that this self-proclaimed hybrid can't shapeshift on command.
Well, so what happens is she starts to act weird, which, I mean, based
it's not a big stretch.
Based upon this woman is not very surprising. However, she starts to act weird even for her. And, like, just being kind of like withdrawn and everything. So the psychic person or whatever claims to be getting in touch with her reptilian family from the other planet, wherever they're from. In this case, they distinctly said, like, another world.
Yeah.
And so they start, like, touching hands. And they start speaking in, like, this gibberish sort of dumb language that supposedly is the reptilian native tongue. And the woman, the creature woman, becomes so overwhelmed, she starts crying because she's apparently in touch with her family, her reptile family from worlds away through this psychic.
Right.
And at this point, and as explained later, Jesse Ventura's son says that he thinks he saw her eyes shift like she was had reptile eyes or something.
Right. Right. But she says that if she were to shapeshift in like the grocery store or something like that.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
She would lose all her clothes, she would have a tail, it would be terrible, and thankfully she can't control it herself.
Oh yeah, because she'd do it all the time or something.
Yeah, so she can't control it and make us and let us see it.
Very convenient.
So now that what's interesting is for a long time during this whole thing, they kind of make it seem like they are believing this conspiracy theory. They make it seem like, oh, this is possible. And they go as far as to try to say, well, let's track them down.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, well, if we're going to go to hunt reptiles, we need to go practice first. So they go to a gun range. They go to target practice before going to this area where they supposedly think that reptiles might be. And this doesn't bother me from a point of necessarily them being like, well, we're going to find them, so we have to be prepared. This bothers me from a point, well, by the end of the episode, he doesn't believe them.
Right.
That this is a real conspiracy. But so it's therefore a completely unnecessary scene to have in the show. And they literally have a conversation with the guys at the target range going, well, if we were going to see reptiles, what kind of firepower do you think we need?
I loved that question. As if...
And the guys like, wait, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as if an assault rifle would not do the job. As if somehow these things would not be killed by the same thing that kills every other living creature in the world.
And the guy's like... I don't know what kind of their skin is like, so I would definitely go for the brain box on this one. Definitely go for the brain box, yeah. And they're having a real conversation. Now, granted, I'll give them this. You and I and our group of friends would totally have this conversation at 3 a.m. on a Saturday after going out all night and going back to somebody's apartment to finish off beers because the bar's closed.
Right.
But... this is a show on a channel called True TV, and you're having the same conversation that a bunch of assholes have while drinking.
I was going to say, and supposedly you're sober while having this conversation on the show.
So they have this literal conversation, and I think he might have just put it in there to make fun of Sean Stone and be like, no, you got to shoot faster. There's reptilians chasing after us. But they do that, and then they go to an area in – you know what? I don't even know where it was. Was it Nevada?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. and they take the word of this guy in camo and a big floppy hat. One of those big floppy safari hats. And then a Native American guide. And they point to power lines, and they go, these power lines go from here up the mountain, disappear. And the guy, this was one of my other favorite scenes, because Jesse Ventura goes, okay, so what you're saying is you can see the power lines go from there all the way up the mountain, and then they just disappear. And the guy's like, yeah. And the guy in the floppy hat says, you're dealing with a government that has the technology to drill through a telephone pole and just put the wires down there to go underground, and that's where the base is. Okay, they had the technology to drill through a log a long fucking time ago. Like, this isn't space age technology. You and I can figure this stuff out to drill through a telephone pole to string wires. It's not rocket science.
No, I'm pretty sure if you gave me some time, I could probably do the same thing.
It would probably be a long process, but you could do it.
I also enjoyed the – I don't know if you caught this one. It said, we're dealing with one of the most advanced governments in the world.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
I was like, really? Are you trying to tell me that the United States government is fairly advanced?
Well, they are being led by reptilian human hybrids, so.
Oh. These now, people.
First of all, Jesse's just taking the word of these other people, and he's not going to investigate up the mountain where these wires apparently disappeared down the telephone pole. So that tells me two things. One, they don't have a budget for a helicopter.
Right.
And two, he doesn't want to fucking walk.
Yeah, which would explain his impressive weight gain.
Yeah. My other favorite thing is that he says throughout is he goes, I was in the world of professional wrestling. I've seen crazy stuff, but never anything like this.
I've seen shit.
Yeah, you've seen professional wrestling shit. Like,
remember when they pretended that they killed Vince McMahon in that, in that limo? Bomb went off? I've seen stuff.
I also like how he goes early on. This is in the hallway argument scene going back, though. But he goes, this is ridiculous. Name one time this has occurred. And the son says, you were in the movie Predator. That was a reptile. And he goes, that was a movie. And he goes, yeah, but maybe it was based on something. Because I feel like they shoehorned that in just because assholes like you and me would be like, That's the plot of Predator. That you were basically just having Jesse Ventura fight a predator now in this show. And they were like, no, see, we know you were going to think that, so we're going to mention it before you say it.
We're going to get the leg up on you.
Yeah.
So, I fought an alien once before.
I know
it didn't turn out well for me.
I know what viewers are thinking, so...
You ever walk through a jungle carrying a minigun? It's annoying.
You haven't? Neither have I. It was a prop.
Wait, it was actually very light.
Yeah. Wait 5-10 pounds. That's it. I was in better shape back then.
Clearly.
So they go through all this stuff, and then you find out, finally, this show could have been like a 15-minute clip on YouTube. Because at the end they go, well, there's people say all this stuff and there's all this evidence. But if you take it back, everything points to this one guy. Now, what's great is Jesse doesn't come up with this theory on his own, nor does his team. This other conspiracy expert named Alex Jones. He meets him at like a loading dock somewhere because there's all those shipping containers around him.
Yeah, obviously it's just some really weird staged set something. I don't even know what it is.
Unlike the rest of the show.
Right.
But they meet him there, and he's like, well, everything points back to David Icke. He's the one to talk to. You gotta talk to him. David Icke, talk to him. Well, I'm gonna talk to this David Icke. So he goes to I guess this guy is speaking somewhere. And David Icke is this guy who used to be like a sports commentator in England.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, one day, he went on TV and was like, well, I am the son of the Godhead. And you can deal with that. And people laugh at him. He's like, laughter's the best medicine. Fantastic. And the guy's like, you know they're laughing at you, right? And he goes, I don't care. And then he just... From there, he came up with this whole conspiracy, the whole reptilian thing.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote a book, and apparently everything came from this book.
It was like, honestly, it was kind of like a shittier version of L. Ron Hubbard coming up with Scientology.
Yeah. But he supposedly confronts him. Now, he doesn't – the way they edit it together in his voiceover make it seem like Jesse Ventura, like – confronts him backstage, and like he walks into the theater, goes backstage while the guy's just, you know, trying to get ready for a show because this guy does speaking engagements all over, and Jesse Ventura traps him back there and goes, I want answers. But no, it's all set up ahead of time.
Yeah.
But they find like the creepiest part of the theater to do it in, so that like it's just all brick and like stone and cement. And, like, the furnace is in the background, like...
It, just a perfect place to hold an interview.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They talk about it, and he's asking the guy all these questions, and the guy doesn't give him a straight answer. And another one of my favorite parts is when he goes... Because I started laughing before Jesse Ventura completed his sentence. But the guy's like, well, read my books. Read my books. It explains everything. And Jesse Ventura goes, this guy expects me to read 700 pages?
Yes, that was awesome.
And he completes it. He goes, just to get a simple answer? Because his question was, in fairness to Jesse Ventura, was, is there a way to see them? What do I have to do in order to see them? And the guy was like, well, they're on a different way. They're on a different spectrum than humans to see, so they're invisible. And Jesse's like, okay, well, what can we do to see them? How do you know that they exist? Like, give me some shred of proof. And the guy's like, it's in my book. And then he's like, this guy expects you to read 700 pages? That's ridiculous. But it becomes such a weird interview. It doesn't become an interview at all. It just becomes them yelling at each other, really.
Yeah, no, he goes, I thought this was going to be a serious interview. And I was like, what? You sat down for an interview with Jesse Ventura and you thought it was going to be a serious interview? Like, you must be dumber than you look.
You're talking about reptilian human hybrids.
Yeah, you're talking about reptiles taking over human bodies, basically being in charge of the world with Jesse Ventura, and you were expecting a legitimate interview? Are you out of your? Obviously, he's out of his fucking mind. But I mean, come on, what are you talking about?
And the other part I liked about the interview was. Jesse Ventura used the word uppity.
Oh, yes. That was awesome.
I didn't know you were going to get uppity about it.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd get uppity about it. I mean, all in all, the thing was so ridiculous. I mean, it was so far out there. And I got to give Jesse Ventura some credit. He didn't go along with it. Because clearly... Ventura is kind of a whore for fame and money.
Yeah.
And I'll give him credit. He didn't give this thing any credence other than, I mean, he did give it an entire episode's worth, but he pretty much just talked crap about it.
For the most part. I think, I'm sorry, go finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say I mean, it's tough for me to give Jesse Ventura too much credit, but I got to give him that.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, I think he knows now that his show is partially going to become debunking people and ridiculous conspiracy theories, because he thinks probably that he wants to prove that some conspiracy theories are real and some are complete bullshit. But well, he also wants to make money. But not the next episode. I think the next episode is a death ray. But I think the episode after that deals with one of our favorite topics. So we'll have to definitely talk about it if we don't talk about the death ray. The third one, I think, in the season is called Time Travel.
Oh, my God.
So we will have to revisit this at least one more time. Possibly more, depending on how many episodes this season has.
You'd just be doing a Jesse Ventura update every episode.
I mean, I think if he produced a little bit more, we could easily do that. But would you like to know how I know that the reptilian conspiracy theory is bullshit?
Yeah, fill me in.
And I didn't have to think much about it. So one person says that it goes back to ancient Sumeria, right?
Right.
And then there was another guy on there that said their plan, the human reptilian hybrid plan, is to kill off 85% of the people on the planet, enslave us, and take all our resources, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's actually their plan, which it seems to be, their plan is for world domination, taking our resources, why the fuck didn't they just do it in ancient Sumeria when we didn't have swords? Really? We didn't really have, like, bows and arrows. We hadn't reached that level of technology to really fight back with them. We weren't smart enough to be like, maybe you guys aren't the gods that you say you are. And we didn't have cars that consumed some of our natural resources. Like, let's say they want petroleum and natural gas as a resource, and they want all this other stuff. Why would they let us survive for thousands of years and eat up all these resources just to one day go? Why would they
let us use up almost all the oil?
Yeah, why would they let us take up so much of the stuff and then go, all right, now's our time to strike. Kill off 85%. No, just don't let us grow that much. Just enslave us while we're a bunch of idiots.
When they were first around, supposedly, I mean, what was the population of Earth? 1/100th of what it is now? Why wouldn't you just take over then? It would be a lot easier. Yeah. And plus, here's the other thing. These fucking things are so advanced. These are aliens from another planet. What the hell do they need our resources for? What do they need oil? What are they using oil for? I mean, maybe spaceship?
Yeah, they need some kind of resource from us. I mean, I'll buy that. I'll buy that they need resources. Maybe they've eaten up the resources on their planet and other planets between us and them, and they've been alive for so long that we're just next on the chain of planets that they. I'll buy that there's a race of aliens. They come to us and they go, "We need the resources on this planet." I'll buy up till that point. But when they go, listen, by the way, they've been doing it for thousands of years. They're just waiting for the time to strike to eat up our resources and kill off 85% of us. No. They could have done it 5,000 years ago. Why didn't they just do it then?
Before we used up half our resources.
That would have been way more efficient.
Ugh. Yeah. Before I don't know.
Yeah, before they let you drive to work by the, 6,000 feet that it takes you and burn up more of our natural resources, why not just enslave us when we were dumb and didn't know better? Why wait so long? It just seems inefficient for a race that is supposed to apparently be so superior to us.
Excuse me, we're going to kill you off now so that we can use your fossil fuels for our spaceship.
Yeah.
We don't even use fossil fuels for our spaceships.
Honestly, I think if aliens came out tomorrow and they were like, "Listen, we're aliens. We're here to take your resources," I'd be like, "What are you, stupid? How, you've been here for this long, and now, finally, now you're doing it. Why didn't you just wait? Like, I wouldn't even care if they were gonna kill me. I would call them out on it, and be like, "This is the stupidest plan ever. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves."
You, sir, are dumb.
You are separating this woman, this lesbian from her family on Alpha Ceriton 3 or whatever the fuck the planet's called. Why would you wait so long to do all this stuff? It's ridiculous. And they're like, this guy's kind of right.
Read my book. Read my book.
The aliens have a book?
Well, no. No, that stupid guy, Ike.
Oh, David Ike. You know what? The one thing that this episode taught me, though, was that besides if I start to get fat, then I need to buy bigger shirts. It also taught me that there's a lot of money in conspiracy theories. So yeah. I think I need to come up with one.
Yeah. It wouldn't be that hard.
I may or may not be working on something right now. I can't confirm or deny that. I may have a contact in a cave somewhere.
When I was a kid, me and our friend Dan worked at CVS as cashiers. And we used to tell the old ladies that the CVS was built on an Indian burial ground. And they believed us.
It's so easy. I think it needs to involve aliens, though. I think that's the key.
Yeah, that's a good one, especially because when it involves aliens or any sort of interdimensional beings, it doesn't require a shred of proof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't think any of this really requires a shred of proof to. It's all fuzzy, circumstantial kind of evidence.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Basically, you don't want to come up with something that requires much proof.
Yeah.
Like the lizard thing, you don't need to have anything.
I think if you take stuff that has already happened and then just say, you know what? All lizards. It's all lizards. People will just go, all right. Because they were like, well, a lot of the royal families in Europe intermarried. That's because, you know, wanted to keep the lizard-human hybrids together mating.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that is true that they all are connected. And that our presidents, for the most part, are strongly connected to royalty and royal families and everything in Europe. That's very true. But does it mean alien hybrid conspiracy? No. It's no proof whatsoever.
I don't know, Keith. I'm starting to believe.
Let me put it this way. Greg, you and I are close friends.
Yes.
Do you ever wonder why we're close friends?
I don't know.
Do you think it's because we were both made in the same genetic lab, and we are the next evolution of humans?
Oh.
And we are drawn to each other by a chemical signal that draws us all together so that by the time we reach a certain age, we'll all be drawn together so that we can take over the world. Did you ever think about that, Greg?
No. You think that's true?
I think it is. In fact, I have proof, but it's invisible proof, and I can't show you.
Oh, man. Well, this is all very exciting. I can't wait to tell people about this.
You can't tell anyone, though.
Damn it. Unless, can we make money off it, though?
Unless you do it in a cave.
Oh, okay. Unless there's, like, a book signing involved.
Yes. Unless you're getting paid to tell people, you can't tell anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I can live with that.
All right. And you have no proof to dispute me, Greg.
I don't. It's beautiful. And it's a foolproof plan.
You know how I tie it all together?
How's that?
I explained that Robert Urich was an integral player in all of this.
Oh, but how could you prove him wrong? Exactly. Robert Urich ain't around to tell anyone that it's not the case.
It's foolproof. And he's such a well-known but trusted figure that nobody would be like, he would never do anything. Well, you know, I mean, he didn't really, we never found out like his deep, dark secret. So maybe this was his deep, dark secret.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what he was hiding from everybody. Oh my God, Robert Urich was part of this conspiracy.
That Robert Urich. It's a troublemaker.
I'm gonna have to put a disclaimer on this episode that says none of what we say is probably true.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of a South Park episode.
Yeah. Any likenesses, reproductions, or the SM? This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bordello.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
What you should do is check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/butcherwrong, and the twit at BYW Podcast. And you can check me out at The Actual Keith and Greg out at
Mr. Fantastic on 86. Mr. _ Fantastic 86. Right?
Yeah.
That's right, right?
Yeah. And I want to come out with a good closeout like Jesse Ventura had at the end of it, where it was like, there's people after us, but they're human. But I can't think of anything good. I don't know. Whatever, that's it. Goodbye, everybody. See you later.
Bye.